Caught a cold the last few days, so my voice is a bit croaky today. So I'm going to need you to work with me and to help me as we think about this wonderful Psalm, Psalm 23. But as we do, how about we pray and ask for God's help? And as we do, I'll read us some words from Mark 6. Mark says, "When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd." And so we pray, our loving Father, that as we come to think about this well-known and dearly loved part of your word, that you would give us eyes to see fresh things. And we pray, Father, that your word would do us good and teach us more about who you are to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is an old story of a shepherd boy who lived in the highlands of Scotland. His parents died when he was young, so he was sent to live with his grandfather. And his grandfather was a shepherd, so he became a shepherd. And this boy couldn't read, so his grandfather taught him to read, and he would teach him certain Bible verses by using certain actions. And when he taught him Psalm 23, he taught him, using each finger on his hand, "The Lord is my shepherd." One day, that shepherd boy was out working with his flock, and a massive blizzard blew through, and he didn't come home. The grandfather couldn't leave to find him. He had to wait till that storm passed. And when it did, he left. He searched and he found his grandson lying on the ground, frozen to death. And as this grandfather, I'm sure full of grief, knelt down and picked up his lifeless grandson, he saw that he was holding his fourth finger. And he remembered, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I tell us that today because what that young shepherd boy grasped is really one of the most beautiful things about Psalm 23, that it is the privilege of the Christian believer who belongs to Jesus Christ that they can say not just that God is a shepherd, but God is my shepherd. And Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm. It's perhaps the most well-known and loved psalm. It's what Charles Spurgeon called the pearl of psalms. It has been read at funerals. It has been shared by the hospital bed. It has been prayed at the deathbed. It has been sung through tears to the tune of many hymns. And it has brought immense comfort in the darkest of times. And yet Psalm 23 is not only for funerals, because Psalm 23 is all about life, life with God our shepherd. And it shows us what life is like when we belong to him. This is a psalm of David. He lived and breathed this psalm, and it is a very personal psalm. I wonder if we picked up how David's language of I and me and my and you. Because as David writes this psalm, he's not talking about a God who is distant and far off, but the God who is close and personal. But whilst this is a psalm about David, this is ultimately a psalm about the God who is David's shepherd. Shepherd, of course, is a big word throughout the Bible, and it means much more than just someone who hangs around with sheep. Because shepherd is a kingly word. We think of Moses, who was a shepherd called to lead God's people. And then even King David, who was a shepherd in the field called to shepherd and rule the people of God. And then there is God himself, who says, "I myself will come and shepherd my people," which of course we see most fully as God comes into the world in the person of Jesus, who one day stands up and says, "I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep, and I take it up again. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand." This is a psalm about David, but ultimately this is a psalm about the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And it shows us what life is like when we belong to him. And when we do, we find that this psalm becomes our psalm. And we are invited with David to say every word of this psalm. And I thought that this would be a good passage for us to look at as we begin this new year, because this is here to remind us who we belong to, of whom we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." So who is this God of Psalm 23? Well, just 2 points for us to think about. Firstly, verses 1-4, I've called the shepherd. And then point 2, verses 5-6, the host. So firstly, the shepherd. And David starts by telling us, verse 1, who the shepherd is. He is the Lord. Now, when we see in our English Bibles the word in capitals, L-O-R-D, Lord, it means God's covenant name. That is his name, Yahweh. That's the name God told his people when he saved them in the Exodus. He said to them, "I am who I am," which means I'm completely self-sufficient. I'm completely sovereign. And that's who David calls my shepherd. That's who David belongs to. And he uses God's name here to make the point that the Lord who saved his people from slavery in Egypt and who led and provided for them throughout the wilderness is the same Lord who saved David, who provides for him and who cares for him. And because of who this shepherd is, David can say, verse 1, "I have what I need." And I wonder if sometimes we can read that verse and say to ourselves, "Well, that definitely can't be true for me, because there are just so many things I don't have, things I long for, even things I pray for." And yet David can say, "I have what I need, because ultimately I have my shepherd. He is all I need." And there will be many things for us which we want and long for. And yet when we belong to this shepherd of Psalm 23, when we belong to the Lord Jesus, there is nothing else we really need, because all we really need is him, because of who he is. And then verse 2, we see what this shepherd does. David says, verse 2, "He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake." Just last month, I was on a train going through the north of England, and at one point I looked out the train window and I saw these long green fields of lush grass. And I even saw some sheep, you know, walking around, eating the grass. And I just looked at it. It was probably the one day the sun came out. And I just saw these sheep and I thought, this is so calm, so serene. And that's very much the picture that we see in verse 2 and 3 of life in a peaceful meadow under the shepherd's care, who provides abundantly. He provides food, the grass, and drink, quiet waters, and he also provides rest. I'm told it's very hard to get sheep to lie down. I haven't tried, but I've just taken people's word for that. But I'm told it's very hard to get sheep to lie down, but not this shepherd. No, when his sheep are with him, verse 2, they lie down, they rest. And so David says, verse 3, "He renews my life. He refreshes me, he restores me, he makes me full." And then verse 3, "He leads me down the right paths." He does this for his name's sake, for his reputation. That's what this shepherd does. He provides, he cares, he leads. And don't we know that to be true for us? That the Lord we belong to provides abundantly. Not only what we need, like a bed to sleep in, or food to eat, or clothes to wear, but he ultimately gives us himself. And as Jesus says in John 10, I lay my life down for the sheep. But don't we know that life is not always full of lush green fields? And there are times when this shepherd might lead us down a very dark valley. And yet David says, verse 4, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. This is perhaps the most well-known verse in Psalm 23 that speaks about this valley. And I don't know about you, but I'm actually very thankful that God says that there will be valleys and that he won't let us pretend that life is always bright and chirpy, because there are times when life is unbelievably dark. And we do all go through valleys. And for some of us here today, we will be in a valley. And maybe no one else knows. And I wonder what that might be for you. It could be wrestling with disappointment or discouragement, a setback. Or it could be a struggle, an addiction, or a battle with mental health, with depression. Or perhaps we're anxious, what will this year be like? Or it could be unemployment or sickness, a diagnosis, a difficult marriage, a difficult relationship, wrestling with singleness, with loneliness, or having to face the death of a friend, of a parent, a child, a spouse. Like David, we all go through dark valleys, and they are brutal. And the commentators are a bit puzzled by this phrase, the darkest valley. It literally means death shadow. Death shadow, which is why some translations might call it the valley of the shadow of death. But when we think about it, death really is the darkest valley. Our old prayer book says that in the midst of life, we are in death, because death casts its ugly shadow over our lives. And we can pretend that death doesn't faze us, but deep down we know it really does. And yet David can say, verse 4, even though I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. And that's a beautiful verse, because here David is no longer talking about the shepherd. No, he's talking to the shepherd. Verse 4, you are with me. And aren't those four words some of the loveliest words a believer could ever say to God? You are with me. In whatever valley, in that time of disappointment, of setback, of loneliness, of sickness or loss, when we're at the lowest of lows, we can say to our shepherd, you are with me. And as he walks with us through this valley, we'll see what's in his hands, end of verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This rod was what the shepherd would use to beat off the wolves that would come. And the staff is what he would use to bring back the wandering lost sheep. And David says, even though I go through the darkest valley, your protection and your correction, they keep me safe. They bring me back. They comfort me. We go through dark valleys, and one day we go through the darkest of valleys. But when we belong to Christ, we can say with David in the valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. And isn't it possible, dear friends, that there might be times that God might lead us through a valley, not only to guard us from something far worse, but also so that we will learn that he really is with us. And ultimately, no Christian need fear the dark valley of death, because it was the Lord Jesus who went through the darkest valley, who lived his whole life under the shadow of death, and who faced the black hole of death for us and went through the grave so that you and I might go through too. There was once a girl in Colombia who was on her way home from school one day, and she was given a Gideon's Bible, the Bibles they put in hospitals and hotels. She took it home, began to read it, and her father saw it and took it off her and said, that's a total waste of time. And he put it in his top jacket pocket. The next day he went to work in one of the mines. He was a miner. And when he was in one of the mines that day, the mine shaft collapsed. And he was one of 31 men stuck in this mine shaft. It took the rescuers about a week to get into that mine. And when they did, they found that all 31 men had died. And as they were pulling the men out, they found the Bible in the father's top jacket pocket. And on the very last page, where there is a space to write your name to say that you've put your faith in Christ, well, there at the back were 31 names. And I love that story because there are 31 men who realized that in the dark valley of death, there is only one way safely through. And that is only when the Lord Jesus is your good shepherd. Jesus who gave up his life so that we might have life forever. And one day, dear friends, that will be you and I. Unless Jesus returns first, we will have to face the dark valley of death ourselves, whether in the hospital bed or somewhere else. And in that day, if we belong to Christ, we can say, like that Scottish shepherd boy, "The Lord is my shepherd. I fear no danger, for you are with me." That is God the shepherd. Secondly, and briefly, verses 5 and 6, the host. Where we move from the meadow and the dark valley, and we come, verse 5, to a feast. Verse 5, David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." If you're like me, you'll be someone who loves a good feast. And I wonder what your Christmas lunch or dinner was like this year. A friend's family very kindly had me for Christmas Day. And I was one of 26 there. I'd never met these people before, and it was a very long day. But the food was amazing. My friend's mother, she'd put in all the hard work, and she'd gotten a turkey and a ham and roast and everything, and it was just fantastic. And it's a wonderful thing to be hosted. And yet that is what God does for David. He serves him. He holds a party. It's most likely a victory party in the presence of David's enemies, of whom David had many. David spent a good chunk of his life on the run. He'd been chased by Saul and even by his own son. But here is David, served and waited on by God his host, who anoints his head, verse 5, a sign of his host's favour and kindness, and who fills his cup till it overflows, a picture of great generosity and provision. And so kind is his God that David says, verse 6, "Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life." We do whatever we can to pursue goodness and love, and yet in verse 6, it is the goodness and love of God that pursues us. We can somewhat think of the goodness and faithful love here being like two sheepdogs who are chasing us down. But yet the picture is actually much more wonderful than that, because of course goodness and faithful love are not only attributes of God, but they are God himself. And what a thought that is, that as we go through every day, we can somewhat look over our shoulder and see the God of perfect goodness, the God of steadfast and enduring love, pursuing us all the way home. End of verse 6, David says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." Or perhaps, as our footnote says, forever. And that's how Psalm 23 moves. It starts in a field, goes through a valley, and it ends in eternity. It ends at home. And this is where every believer is heading, to a heavenly home. No wonder Jesus said in John 10, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand," because in the end, he will bring all his people safely home. And 1 second there with him will make up for all the valleys that we've had to walk. Well, that is Psalm 23. There's so much that we haven't touched on. And so I'd just love to encourage us to go home today and reread Psalm 23 and pray it through and meditate on it. But as we close, let's just remember that the God of Psalm 23, the Lord of Psalm 23, is the Lord that we belong to. And he is the one who shepherds us every single day. He stands in front of us, verse 2, and he leads us, and he calls to us, "Follow me." And he stands behind us, verse 6, and he pursues us with his goodness and love. And he even stands beside us, verse 4, even when we go through the darkest valley. I would love to have Psalm 23 at my funeral, but actually I need it every single day, and I need it every year, because it shows me who I belong to, and of whom which we can say with that young shepherd boy, "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, how about we pray together? We praise and thank you, our loving Father, for the Lord Jesus, who has come into the world to lay down his life and take it up again, and to call us to be his. And we pray, our Father, teach us all our days to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.